the entire town.
Who is it? You're saying Orson Welles ain't here?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. At House, was it called House of Pies then?
Pardon?
Was it called House of Pies then?
Oh, it has been for the last 31 years that I've been coming here.
So you'd come here with Orson Welles and get a whole cream pie and not get a piece of it, huh? How are you doing today?
Coffee,
iced tea.
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk, huh? That's the way to go. Could you get up, Amy? I'm going to look at the pies real quick.
Okay. What do you usually get here?
I don't get any particular thing, but frequently I get chili thighs. I say, if you like hamburgers, one called Gimme the Works Hamburger is really sensational.
Really?
I think I might have to, I think the Orson Welles thing is a good idea. I'm just going to get a cream pie.
Oh, you were saying in the truck that you were good friends with Anton LaVey.
Oh, yes.
Were you really?
I was in his home. He had a pet lion called Hogar. And I was in his kitchen, and I heard some kind of a scratching noise, and I looked, and there outside was this lion scratching to come in. So he let Togar in. He said, you don't need to be afraid of him. He's house trained. And Togar promptly made a liar out of Anton. sprinkled the floor. And afterwards, Togar was just lying down, and I went over and petted him. Anton was often in my home and played the piano and
really
sang songs with him.
I see.
Yes.
Bob?
So you hung out often with him, huh? You hung out a lot with Anton LaVey, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. What'd you think of his whole, the whole scam he had going?
I don't know what to make of it. I think it's... never caught on like Scientology.
What?
His satanic religion never caught on like Scientology.
Too bad, huh?
Scientology is everywhere here. I'm surprised. It's like Starbucks on every corner. That's a big surprise.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting pie. Just pie. It'll equal a whole pie. Just a slice of it.
What kind of cream pie are you getting?
Well, I'm going to get that strawberry pie right up there and probably a piece of cherry pie.
Wow.
Or blueberry. Blueberry's good.
Fun.
I said blueberry is good.
Yeah.
What are you getting?
Depends on what the soup of the day is.
You know, I really like that. I like the whole museum. It's very nice. It's very nice.
102 pieces of my collection are permanently in Seattle in the $20 million science fiction museum there.
Oh, that's cool.
Really?
And there are 21 pieces of my collection in Berlin in the science fiction film museum.
Wow.
And I still have a lot of things in storage that I have no room.
So what happened? The big castle, the big place you had was too big for you, huh?
No, not too big, but I had a legal I was suing the publisher of Famous Monsters on 19 counts, and what's the soup today?
We have the beef barley.
Beef barley, huh? All right, I'll have a beef barley soup. And some dinner rolls.
That's all you're having?
Well, I might have some pie. We'll see.
Excellent. I'm going to have that strawberry pie up there in the cabinet. What's it, strawberry cream or something like that? Not cheesecake, but pie. I'd also like a piece of cherry pie.
Down.
Hail Caesar.
Just the salad or the tea? No, not the tea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have a cherry story to tell you.
That's
many
it,
years
huh?
Ago,
that's it. Beef barley soup, huh?
Huh?
That's it. Beef barley soup, huh?
Well, I may have, first of all, I don't have much of an appetite, but I may have piece of pie. We'll see.
Well, that's very, you know, it's a nice that we got to hang out with you over some food. That's very nice.
So, years ago in Japan, my fan friends had taken me to a Chinese dinner. And at the end, there was a big gelatinous mound covered with apples and bananas and peaches and pears, and they were cutting out portions and giving them to the various fans. And it looked to me like one lone cherry was going to get left behind. So I picked it up. I said, "Well, what's for this cherry?" And they said, "Well, we call it the test of modesty. No one would be so greedy as to take the only cherry for themselves." I said, "Well, I don't really want to eat this cherry. I just feel sorry for it. Tomorrow it's got to be lying on a shrink's couch and weeping tears and saying, last night everybody was eating apples and bananas and peaches and pears, and I was unwanted, I was untouched, I was uncherished." I can never go back to Japan.
You ate the cherry, huh? Exactly.
That's funny, the test of modesty.
The test of modesty. I will always fail it.
I'm very fortunate that the theater across the way gets a rush down there. Years ago, I bought my ticket and was walking in. And the young manager came running out. Oh, no, no, no. Mr. Ackerman never pays here. It turned out that he was a fan of mine. So I have a perpetual pass for myself and a guest. See any picture I want there for you.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Once I got on an airplane and I had been seated in the an ordinary seat, and after the plane took off and got up to about 30 how high are they going? 30,000 feet. Young man came and took my hand and said, come on here. And he took me and set me in first class. And it turned out that he was a fan of Famous Monsters magazine.
They're everywhere.
Exactly.
You ever get in any trouble for any of the stuff you put out in magazines?
No.
No trouble at all from parents, nothing, huh?
Took an 8,700-mile drive all over the United States and back at one time, meeting as many as I could of 1,300 young readers who all wanted to meet me. And at first I was a little apprehensive. I thought, gee, maybe some of these parents are going to frown on me. But it was quite the opposite. They all welcomed me with open arms. And one pair of parents said, oh, Mr. Ackerman, we were so grateful to you. We thought our boy was never even going to look at a comic book, but he read one issue of your magazine and was off to the library getting Edgar Allan Poe and Jules Verne and H.G. Wells and said really grateful. I went 35 miles out of my way to Niles, Michigan, because a young boy was saying, Mr. Ackerman, if you'll visit me, there will be 50 here for you. Gee, I can't disappoint that many. One boy and 49 sheep.
That's a good one. No.
That's funny. I bet the sheep are thrilled.
Is anybody here driving a red Toyota pickup?
Nope. Not us.
Anybody out here driving a red Toyota pickup parked by the wall?
Yes.
Nobody driving a horror?
Huh? So you must have known a good group of horror writers and people that got in trouble from putting out magazines. I mean, what was that one thing that they, like, the Comics Code?
Oh, yes.
I forget the name of that, the Comics Code. But
was
you
that
must
in,
have,
like, the 50s or something?
Yeah.
When they said comics are destroying
I lived all through that, but I've forgotten now that man who was so dead set against comics.
But you never had a problem.
No.
But you must have known people in the horror business to have problems with censorship. Some of the modern people. Who made Last House on the Left? John Carpenter?
No, the other guy. Wes Craven?
Wes Craven. And he had trouble with last house on the left, stuff like that, no?
One time at a famous monster convention in New York, toward the end of it, the publisher grabbed hold of me and put me up on a platform and said, "What am I bid for an hour with my editor? He will entertain you privately." Before I knew it, one young blonde lady had bid $60 for an hour with me. Next year at the convention, I no sooner got in the hotel, I got a phone call from a young boy in Philadelphia. He said, "Oh, you are going to be auctioned again, aren't you, Mr. Ackerman? I saved up $90. Oh my gosh, I would gladly talk to any kid free, but I guess he has his heart set on winning me. Well, so I went up for auction again and started easy, 25, 35, 50, 70, 85, 90, and behind my little $90 boy, there was two rows back with another boy who seemed bound and determined to win. I didn't know at the time he was in cahoots with another kid who was putting in half the money. So it was apparent that it was going to go to $100. And the auctioneer came to me and said, "What do you think about calling quits now at 90 and giving each boy an hour of your time?" I said, yeah, that's fine. Say, at the moment, I didn't know that there were going to be three boys all together. So they were to come to my room at 11 o'clock for their hour, and a young girl fan came to me, "Oh, Mr. Ackerman, could I interview you?" And I said, "Sure, honey, I'll be here all day tomorrow and part of Monday." "Oh, dear, I have to leave first thing in the morning." And she, brokenhearted, she couldn't interview me, so I said, "Well, honey, come to my room at 11 o'clock, and these three boys will be there. I'm sure they won't mind if you were there." So she came, and she was about to leave when she was at the door, and the three boys appeared, and one of them said, "Well, I'm sure Mr. Ackerman won't."
"I'll be right back with the rest."
"It'll be okay with Mr. Ackerman if you accompany us." Well, one boy, the one paid $90 for an hour of my time, he sat over in a corner smooching with a little girl for his hour.
Oh, no.
And the other two kids were both victims of a psychiatrist's couch, and they were pouring out their heart to me, and, "Oh, we're telling you things we've never even told our parents." And I was acting as a psychiatrist. Next morning at breakfast, the three boys came to me and they handed me a note that they had all signed, "Greatest Night of Our Lives."
Awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, pie is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
The cherry?
Yes. What'd you get, Amy?
Caesar salad. Haven't had any veggies in like a week.
In Chicago, did you see on TV that school teacher who was cross-eyed? She couldn't control her pupils.
You're funny. You are funny. So how'd you end up over here?
Well, I used to live just three blocks up the hill there.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear about the cafe? Cafe that they have established on the moon?
No.
Good food, but no atmosphere.